Out of the cot, that'll get you out of the cot. Chris Bryan requested this apparently. Morning to you, Chris.
Good morning, to see you. BP. Good to be with you on this Boxing Day.
You're doing that song or influenced by?
Yeah, Christos thought he was, being a bit funny this morning. He obviously, still merry after yesterday's events, so whatever cheers him up.
Yeah. He's a very, look at him, he's just a happy camper.
He is a happy,
and he's off to the States in about 5 days.
He is, and if he's not careful, I'll just let him know all the NBA results that he's wanting not to listen to. So sometime we might just drop those scores later
exactly.
on.
Exactly, let's catch him off guard. That is, that's the key, particularly when he's having a sip of a glass of water and he's not totally focused. Now, how was Christmas Day?
Oh, Christmas Day was wonderful. Got the three kids, 7, 6, and 2. So,
what time were they up yesterday?
Oh, 5:45, I think it was. Right. And we're down at this thing down at the in-laws' place, and we had the camping trailer set up because they're on some property. So, you know, trying to keep them quiet early on. The birds are chirping, the sun's coming up, and we held on till 6. I said, boys, just a little bit longer, 6:30, and then that was it. We're up.
That's it.
The house was up. Yeah, it was great. Great day.
It's a great day, isn't it? I mean, as the older I get, and, you know, you look at how good it is for the kids on that day. I mean, I got one present yesterday. I didn't really need anything, to be totally honest. But to look at the kids, it just makes their year.
Yeah, it is. You just, you know, the boys had their big Santa sack, and you just see them ripping presents out. And, you know, obviously with travelling, being home with the family, that's basically, for me, that's what it's all about. We had a great day. All the family was there, in-laws, outlaws. Mm. You know, we just had water fights. There was 700 water balloons getting thrown around. Yeah. The in-laws were getting the mother-in-law. We were targeting her just because she's the mother-in-law. So, just a wonderful, wonderful day.
Good day. What does Boxing Day normally hold for you? Are you one to go to the cricket or you watch the cricket? What sort of day is it for you, Boxing Day?
No, I'm not really a massive cricket fan. I'll tune in probably for the little bit of the first hour, I guess, just to see the big crowd and the build-up to it. But usually just outside with the kids. You know, the kids have got all their toys and cleaning up, I guess. There's 700 water balloons all on the ground now, so we have to pick those up and just spend time with the family because we all stay together. So, just relaxing and tuning out a bit, I guess.
Mate, we've heard you on the station the last few months, really, covering a lot of the NFL with Richie Garraway and James Arthur, a part of Sunday Sports Central. You've slipped into evenings a little bit, of course, so the great SEN NFL podcast, which you can access through the SEN website, SEN America, and that's going from strength to strength. And there is a couple of games on today, so we might get you to cast a little eye on the game in progress, and that's Pittsburgh up against Baltimore. I think we're in the second period at the moment.
Yeah, second quarter there. Pittsburgh are up 7-3. There was just a fumbled field goal snap for the Ravens, which would have put them within 1 point. So, you know, this game is huge for both sides. If the Steelers win, they clinch that division and obviously head to the playoffs. Ravens are still alive at the moment. But this is arguably one of the biggest rivalries over there. You know, Steelers, Ravens, it's a Carlton Collingwood in Melbourne. They're always brutal games, hard-hitting, and it might come down to that little thing. It could cost them, so it's going to be a fun one to watch this hour with you, BP.
Kansas City, Denver, that'll be a little bit later on this afternoon our time.
Yeah, I think that starts at about 12:30 our time, and again, that's a big game with Kansas, you know, dropping the last couple of games at home. So I think they travel to Denver, I believe. You know, and again, they need to get some form back, you know, heading into the playoffs this year. So that'll be a good one to watch for sure as well at 12:30 our time.
Well, week 17 next weekend. So all the games, I think, are going to be on, Sunday over there?
I think.
Or is it the day before?
I think they might be Saturday.
I think it is. So Saturday in the States into New Year's Day here.
Yep.
And obviously we'll have
Boys. They are all on Sunday still. Okay, every game is Sunday. Right. So there's no Thursday night game.
Yep.
And I don't know, there's no Monday night game either, Tuesday our time. So they basically all finish at the same time to give all the teams a chance to prepare for the playoffs the following week.
One thing we wanted to do with you today, because you've been covering the NFL, but we wanted to sort of take a look at a bit about your own journey from the AFL to the NFL. In fact, Greg from Westmeadows has just sent in an early text here. Chris, can you compare your first AFL and first NFL game experience?
Yeah, completely so different. With the AFL game, obviously, you know, you got the big build-up and you're out there the whole time. With the NFL, you get all your gear on, you run out of the locker room, you have a few kicks pre-game, and then you just go and sit and you wait. And you get up because it's third down and you go, no, we got it. So you sit back down again. So it's up. It's you, there's no real flow to the game. The AFL experience was, it's what you, I guess I was growing up wanting to do. You know, you're waiting for it and then all of a sudden you get out on the MCG, or it was Telstra Dome, actually my first game against Sydney Swans. So it was, the excitement and the build-up was just as big both ways. Yeah, completely different experiences, but, you know, one that I'll cherish forever, both of them.
Chris Bryan with me in the studio, a man who's played for the two biggest clubs in the AFL, Carlton and Collingwood. He's been across and played in the NFL. He's keeping an eye on the live game at the moment, where Baltimore and Pittsburgh are going head-to-head.
This game, it's just starting to get a little chippy. The Jordan Berry, who's obviously an Australian mate of ours, punting for the Pittsburgh Steelers, just got run into on a punt. Now, was it an accident? But it's, you know, a big rivalry. So, you know, they've gone into him, and second quarter, it's starting to get a little chippy now.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that. We wanted to tell a bit of your story today, Chris, because I don't think we've had a real chance to do that while you've sort of been on SCN over the last few months. I mean, to play for two massive clubs here, Carlton and Collingwood, of course, started the journey, you know, with Frankston in the VFL, a chance to go over to the NFL. You've come back and played some local footy here, but just take us back to the, you know, the early days as a young man who was trying to pursue a career in footy.
Yeah, I guess it was even earlier than that, under 15, 16. You know, I got that letter from the Sandringham Dragons just inviting me down. And I still remember thinking to myself, this is a chance to actually push myself and, you know, see where I can go with footy. So that was that journey took off. Obviously went through that whole system and didn't get drafted. And that's shattering. When you've put 3 or 4 years in, it, you know, you're devastated. Mm. But, you know, you bounce back, and then I went and played at Sandringham Zebras in the VFL, who were affiliated with Melbourne at the time.
Yep.
Again, like I was saying just quickly off air, it was a footy club, but it didn't feel like an old-school footy club that I grew up around, because the players, you know, the AFL players are coming back. Thursday night training, you know, if certain players from Melbourne come back, you know your result, you're playing in reserves. Mm. Even though you've done everything right, you're playing well, but just the politics behind it, you know, that's just what it was. And I knew that.
Yep.
You know, that's, so I was there for 3 years, and after 3 years, I'd probably just had enough of that. So that's when I went and made the move down to Frankston. And that was, I just said to you, that was probably my most favourite year of footy ever, because it was an old school footy club. Your mates who you train with every day, who you went out to battle with on the weekend. And then afterwards, you all stuck together. You know, the Melbourne guys didn't have to, the AFL guys didn't have to go and do their recovery. And, you know, it was togetherness.
So Brett Lovett was the coach at the time?
Yeah, Brett Lovett was the coach. And he was wonderful. Obviously, I didn't understand his, I didn't know his record and whatever else, what he'd done. And it, over the year, you learn it and you just understand how he went about it. He used to sweat a lot. Obviously, people seen him on the footy show sweating up. And every meeting on a Thursday night, he'd have the towel and he'd wipe in his head because he was sweating up. But, he made it a footy club. Everything was fun. It was enjoyable. Training was fun to go to. Even down at Frankston Park in the middle of July and August when the wind's blowing off the bay and it's raining. Yeah. It was still fun to go to. And I think that came out in my football. And I played 17 VFL games that year and then ended up getting drafted to Carlton from there. So, I think that feeling of a local footy club belonging somewhere, you just relax and play footy. You're not thinking about too much.
Do you have much to do? I mean, obviously Frankston are in hard times at the moment, not going to play in the VFL next year, and there's plenty of rumblings, plenty of things going on behind the scenes to try and get the Dolphins back maybe for 2018. We know that, you know, Brian Mace and Robert Mace and the Mace family have been there for a long time. There's a lot of people who'd love to, you know, get them back, but pretty difficult as a standalone club.
It is. I mean, and I think it's money because, you know, I think they have like 60 on their list, and the guys that miss out go back and play local footy on the peninsula, and there's plenty of money for guys to play on the peninsula. You know, they get paid big money, and they're not necessarily superstars, but they, the local footy clubs, you know, they offer them a bit to come back. So it's that balance of wanting to stick it out and fight and, you know, go on, so that they have to pay a little bit more as well. But I think I think they're a wonderful club, and I was actually speaking with my wife the other day about it. Because of that experience I had there, you know, I want to go and give back to them, because I think they're crucial. I think, you know, them, Port Melbourne, I think they're crucial to the VFL. You know, because, you know, Casey now have changed their names.
Well, it's an ever-changing competition, isn't it?
Yep.
It's, you know, we're losing teams and we've got, you know, different alignments, and then now some of the clubs going from the alignment to standalone. You know, we think of the traditions of the old VFA. I mean, we've lost obviously so many clubs going back in the 80s and 70s who were, when, you know, the VFA had two divisions. So it's been I can't think of a competition that's changed its structure any more than the VFL.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Like, I played for six VFL sides, because at Carlton, they changed from Preston to Northern Bullants.
Yep.
Then at Collingwood, we were with Williamstown, and then went to their own VFL side, Frankston and Sandringham. But now Sandringham are no longer with Melbourne. They're with St Kilda. Melbourne have gone down to merge with Springvale, moved down to Casey, and now they're not even the Casey Scorpions anymore. So it's ever-changing, and I think the Frankston Dolphins will always be the Frankston Dolphins. It's a great place to watch footy.
They just done the new renovation, didn't they, in the last couple of years?
I think it just opened late in the year, which is, so it's sort of sad that it's not going to get used next season. But the hill, you know, the hill on the side there, the guys are beating the drums, and they rock up in their moccasins and they're beating drums and stuff. But, the, you know, they're on your side, you know. Yeah. It's a team and it's a club environment and it's good standard level of footy. So, you know, I hope that, you know, whatever difficulties they've had, that it gets worked out, because I think that they're crucial for that league.
So you go from Frankston and get drafted by Carlton.
Yep.
Tell us the early days of walking into the historic Carlton Footy Club. Now, am I right in saying, so 2005, was Dennis still there?
Yeah.
As coach?
Dennis was there those my 2 years there. So I'd obviously played okay in 2004. I was 93 kilos as a tall ruckman. Dennis wasn't happy with that. He's like, mate, you're too light. Like, you need to put on some weight. So I guess my journey started 4 weeks prior to that. I had a meeting with their weights guy, put me on a diet, and I had to put on as much weight as I can. Still no guarantees that I was going to get drafted.
Yep.
So I ended up putting on 7 kilos in 4 weeks, which was quite a shock to the system, you know, having to eat so much or whatever. But it all paid off.
Yeah.
You know, I ended up getting that call, and it was phenomenal. It was great. And walking in there, and, you know, Scott Campriali's there, and Kuda, and Lance Whitnell, and Fev's there. You know, you've seen these guys, and I was 22, and it was still, you're still in shock and in awe. So it was a far cry from playing at Frankston Park, but it was, you know, exceptional.
So you make your debut. That was, as you mentioned, against Sydney at the Docklands. We're talking, round 11?
Round 11.
So you bide your time for a little bit?
Yeah, I did. I played, it was Wizard Cup, I think, back then as well. So I played two of the Wizard Cup games, which is, it was funny. I remember the first game was against Essendon at the Docklands Stadium, and Essendon was the team I grew up barracking for. You barrack for Essendon, you hate Carlton, don't you? And you hate Collingwood. Yeah. So as the journey ended up, that's where I... And then you end up disliking Essendon. So my first game, getting used to the pace of it, Dean Solomon absolutely cleans me up, puts me over the boundary line, and I was just... I got up because you sort of had to, you know, you're out in the big stage.
He was tough as nails, wasn't he?
He was too. He was my favourite player, like 3 months before that day. So now all of a sudden he's trying to knock my head off. So... But that was just a quick wake-up call and welcome to the AFL. So, and then, had to bide my time till round 11, which was, looking back, it was frustrating, but I think I definitely needed it.
So who are you, I'm just trying to think back to that time, who you were competing for the, that ruck spot?
Adrian De Luca was one,
okay,
who was drafted from out of the VFL the year before I was, and Barnaby French was the main one. So
who'd played at Port.
Port, yeah, yeah. He'd come over. Yep. And he was great. He wasn't all like, oh, this is my spot, piss off. He was really helpful. He really showed me the way to do it because he'd been around for a long time. His fitness, his work ethic. And I just jumped on that and tried to follow as best I could.
Chris Bryan is with me in the studio. We're just sort of taking a look back at Chris's journey in as an elite sportsman. I've been covering the NFL beautifully. You can hear Chris as part of our SEN NFL podcast, and alongside James Arthur and Julia Garraway, who also appear on Sunday Sports Central and evenings over the last few weeks. Of course, Chris played 46 games in the AFL for Carlton and Collingwood before venturing across to try his hand at the NFL. So the Blues, it comes to Chris at the end of, 2006?
Yep.
Take us through that period which saw you swap over to the Pies.
Yeah, it was obviously a tough year in the club where, you know, they had all the salary cap stuff. So there was two wooden spoons those 2 years. So on-field success wasn't there. Had a great time off the field, great bunch of blokes, still keeping contact with them now. But they offered me a one-year contract and Collingwood offered me two. So it was sort of the year that I had, I'd only played 5 games in 2006. So I thought, you know, I needed a little bit more security because if it goes on again and I only play another 5 games, that's it. At least if I go to Collingwood, I've got 2 years to do something. And they were really positive about the role they wanted me to play, the style of footy they wanted. You know, they wanted me to lean right down, get to, you know, under 100 kilos and become more aerobic player. Yep. So that, it was sort of a no-brainer just to make the move just for job security, I guess. And then straight away over there, the environment was completely different. You know, it just felt successful because they'd been winning and whatever else. Mm. And then first game for Collingwood was Anzac Day 2007. You know, you got 98,000 people, Essendon, Collingwood. I'd been to those games and watched them, and now all of a sudden I'm out in the middle playing it, taking the first centre bounce, and just incredible, incredible day and incredible experience.
So you play 30 games at the Pies. Take us through that period, being at Collingwood at the time and who you were up against for that ruck role. I'm just trying to recall back.
Josh Fraser, was Guy Richards.
Yep.
So 2007 was probably my best year.
Yeah.
Excuse me. We ended up playing in the prelim against Geelong. Got done by 5 points that night.
That would have been Nathan Buckley's last game.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yep. I remember sitting on the bench with him late in the game, and you could tell that he told me actually just a few weeks back that he knew that if we'd won, that he wouldn't have been right. So, yeah, that was Bucks' last game. So, yeah, just fighting through those against Guy Richards, Josh Fraser for the next couple of years. 2009, I guess, was, you know, I played one game. I played round one that year.
Yep.
I had a great preseason. I told Mick, I said, oh, look, I want to play round one. I'd never played round one of a season. And I guess it clicked that preseason that if I do the work now, over in the off-season, during preseason, come back super fit, make my intentions clear that that's what I wanted to do, he'll be watching for it, watch what I'm doing. So I ended up playing. We got beaten by Adelaide marginally, I think. It was a very close game. And then that was it. You know, I didn't get another game and just played VFL for the rest of the year. I think I finished third on the goal kicking and, you know, couldn't get back in. And
opportunity to train with Hawthorn?
Yep.
After you parted with Collingwood?
Yeah, so I had been doing the punting on the sidelines, you know, doing the stuff in the garage and whatever, all the ball drops with Nathan Chapman.
So this started, so that year 2009, you're not playing any AFL footy.
Yep.
I suppose you're questioning
What's next? Yep. It was actually 2008. I was sitting in the room with Paul Lucurio, and he obviously knew Sav.
Right.
And we just sent an email to Nathan Chapman.
Yep.
And it started then, just the process of learning the game and the ball and whatever else. And then as 2009 was going on, not playing, I'm like, okay, this is going to come to an end real soon.
Mm.
Let's wrap it up and make this a bit more serious. So, yeah, got delisted. And then it just stopped to put all my focus into the NFL. And then Hawthorn Chris Pelkin rang and said, you know, do you want to come and train?
Yep.
And I'd completely stopped and I was like, I do, but I don't want to come there and be behind the eight ball when I'm trying to impress. So we made the decision, me and my wife, that AFL was done. It's time for a new adventure. And we packed up the house. We had a one-year-old son, CJ. My wife was pregnant at the time, and we packed up the house and moved across to Green Bay.
Took the plunge.
Yeah, we did. We did. We had no guarantees. So, you know, you're moving over across the other side of the world with, yeah, with a who knows.
So tell us how you link up with the Green Bay Packers.
It was funny because Nathan had been there. Nathan Chapman, and he'd been there. So he had some connections with John Dorsey.
Yep.
And we basically just put a film together and sent them a clip on YouTube. Put it together, and they liked what they saw, and they just thought it might be something a little bit different, and invited me to come over. They hadn't given me a contract, but it was almost done. But still had to go over there, still had to kick in front of the coach and the general manager, one on each side just behind you, and you know, the pressure's on. You got 10 kicks. You stuff up 5 of those kicks, you pack your bags, you're going home again. So, fortunately, I'd done the work and I was ready, and I did those 10 kicks and, got offered the 3-year contract.
So you pack up the whole family, you go over. What sort of environment greeted you? I mean, you compare sort of some of the differences between Carlton and Collingwood. Then you walk into a different code in a different country as an Australian. There had been a few before you, and there's obviously been some after, but not a lot of Australian players playing in the NFL. I mean, I'm intrigued as to what sort of reception you got when you walked in and what sort of atmosphere it was over there.
I guess it was lonely, obviously, going into the locker room, big guys, and you're a punter, so you're the last person on the list. So I guess being an Australian, it sort of helped me, I guess, a little bit, because they were intrigued by my accent and, you know, big Josh. I still remember Josh sitting there as a big guy, 350 pounds, and he goes, "Hey, Ozzy, come over here, Ozzy." And he, you know, they're just going, "Oi, oi, oi," all this sort of stuff in the locker room. And they're taking it out of you, but I guess that's just the way it is. And it was also lonely because you're by yourself. And there's me and another guy, Tim, who were competing for that one job.
Well, it's sort of teams within a team, isn't it?
It is.
In the NFL.
So there's the offense, there's the defense, and then there's the special teams, which is usually three. But we had there was me as well. So we had the two punters competing and then the long snapper and the kicker. So it's just you four basically hanging out all the time. Excuse me. You're competing. So you're trying to be mates with this guy, but you actually don't want him to do any good.
Yeah.
You know, so I remember coming home and the wife goes, "Oh, so did you speak to anyone today?" "Oh, no, didn't. Not today." You're like, you literally do not speak to anyone. You can go in there, work out and whatever, and not talk to anybody.
So you were there basically, what, from February to around about September?
Yep. So I did the whole off season and then into training camp.
Yep.
And then that's when it ramps up. After the summer holidays, which was tough because they put us up in a hotel, but over the summer when you have a month off, everyone goes back to their respective states where they live.
Mm.
Well, what do? I wasn't just coming around the corner. I had to come back to Australia. But we rented a house. By this stage, my wife's 8 months pregnant.
Yep.
So things are getting interesting on the home front. Training camp, and then that's when the preseason games begin.
Yeah. So obviously we get to September of 2010, and you go to Tampa Bay. So it's a pretty ruthless, cutthroat environment, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. We'd played 3 preseason games at Green Bay. Coming into the final preseason game on a Thursday night, and it's neck and neck, we're competing really well. My wife goes into labor on the Tuesday. Right. So we've got no insurance and whatever else. So we had a home birth with our second son. That was Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. Excuse me again. On the Wednesday, we had to fly out of Green Bay to Kansas City for the final preseason game.
Yeah.
Final preseason game Thursday. Played that. Did okay. You know, still competition was hot. Flew back home. Got home Friday. Got cut on Saturday. Green Bay said, look, you know, we're going to go with the other guy.
Is that just a, what is it, a phone call? You get called into the office?
No, they actually handled it really well. And, you know, it was rare that I went into the office with Mike McCarthy and he spoke about it. And they actually offered me a practice squad, like a rookie spot. So they saw something there, but they just didn't trust that I knew enough of the game, which was, you know, fair enough. Okay, so I went home. And then coming back in to sign on with the practice squad, I thought, just get my wife to check my emails. So she checked my emails. There's an email from Tampa Bay. And basically, so that was Sunday morning. Monday morning, I was packed up. I was on a plane down to Tampa, Florida. And my wife had just given birth to our second son. We got a one-year-old. And then I'm gone to Florida and didn't come back. So that's just how it is.
So she stayed.
She stayed in Green Bay. And then she had to pack up the house and whatever else, all the little things that we had, which wasn't much, obviously living out of a suitcase. But and then she came down to Florida. We've got a rented an apartment, whatever else. Signed another three year contract, and then after 5 weeks, they decided that they wanted to go in a different direction as well. And that contract got terminated. Okay.
Chris Bryan in the studio this hour, and Chris has been on SEN for a little while now, but we're telling his story from Frankston to Carlton to Collingwood to Green Bay to Tampa Bay, and then, of course, a little stint at the New York Jets. So let's just finish off the chat on Tampa Bay. It wasn't a long stint, as you said, and another sort of cutthroat situation, but compare that experience to, I suppose, Green Bay.
Yeah, it was amazing. You know, you go to Green Bay and you're feeling a little bit more comfortable because you've been there for a while, and now you're in that environment again, and it's brand new. And they were a team up and coming, and we actually were 3-1, you know, so we're going okay. So I was a little shocked at when I got that call, but it was that exciting. Everything about it over there was just incredible. From, you know, you have to stay in the hotel room the night before the game.
Yep.
You get a bus escorted to the airport if you're playing interstate. The bus goes straight out on the terminal. You're in a private jet. It's just you players on the plane. Take all your own food on there. And then you get to wherever you're playing, police escort down the highway to your next hotel. So you've gone private jet, private bus, police escort. It's just things you see in the movies, and now I'm actually doing it. It was so incredible.
So first regular season game, that was against Cleveland.
Yep.
Cleveland. 12th of September. So you'd arrived, only about a week before.
Yeah, so they'd had a punter on their list, and they wanted me. So they got me in, and I was there for, a week or so before that. And then, I'm in the game. So, and then I was punting to one of the best ever returners, Devin Hester. Mm-hmm. And the special teams coach, Rich Bisacci, he was like, mate, let's just kick your drop punts, get them right over to the boundary. Let's take a less average and not give up a return, because this guy will make you pay. And we actually played all right. We won the game and, scored a touchdown. The cannons are going off down at Raymond James Stadium there. So just incredible experience, incredible.
So you were there, from what I can see, was it just over a month?
So I was active for 5 weeks. Yep. So the season's 17 weeks, and you get paid, you know, 1/17 of your contract every week.
Yep.
So we had 3 games and then had a bye week 4. So that actually counts as an active week, but it's not a game. So I played 4 games, but I was active for the 5 weeks.
And then another NFL stint, you went to the New York Jets.
Yeah, so after that season, after getting cut, we stuck it out the season. And, it was okay. I obviously got a little bit of money. We had Christmas at Disney World in Florida. Waiting for that call for someone else. Didn't happen. Mm. Come back to Australia, and then, New York Jets gave me the opportunity to go to the training camp with them for that year.
So it was an instant yes. I'll definitely come back over. You got a family, young family.
Yeah. Yeah, so they had the lockout that year. It was all the CBA negotiations. So we went and lived, but we just lived over there, and I was training over there in the summer, and then went to New York just for the training camp. And that lasted 3.5-4 weeks as well. So, you know, playing a few preseason games and, again, learning new players, learning new special teams coach, Mike Westhoff, who's, you know, if you've ever heard of a nasty coach, this guy's the nastiest coach you'll ever every, I reckon twice a week, he'd say to me if I have one bad kick. He's standing like 3 metres behind me. I'd kick one and it wasn't quite right. He'd go, "Hey, Ozzy, I got a plane ticket in my top drawer in my office. You better kick the next one better or I'll give it to you." And I'm like, "Mate, I'm trying to focus on the next kick here and you're threatening me with a plane ride back to Australia." So, but that's the pressure you're under. You know, you have to perform and I didn't.
Would you have done anything differently? Or you satisfied, you gave everything you had?
Yeah, we had everything, gave everything. Yep. You know, my kids love the game now and we still watch it now. And it was a great experience to take the family, to do it all with my family and experience what I have and become the fourth player ever to play AFL and NFL. I couldn't be more proud of what I've done and, it wouldn't change a bit.
So you were, what was the age, what age were you when you went to the NFL?
Good question. I was 28.
28, okay.
Yeah, so 28 to 30, 31. So it was mate, great time. It was just everything. We drove a BMW over there. It was just everything about it. The experience was phenomenal and I wouldn't change a minute.
Got about 20 seconds, but you've come back here and you've been involved back playing local footy, which I know you love and you can bring the family down. It's the real grassroots.
Yeah, it is. And that, I guess that's where it all started. You know, I'm back at Keysborough this year and, you know, that's where Mum met Dad. So after coaching there and now I'm coming back and, you know, to me, that's what it's all about, the family environment and, local footy stuff.